I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Sean Cranberry joins me now. He's the host of a very fine literary podcast, Books on the Radio, that airs on CJSF 90.1 FM, the public radio station at SFU. The program features interviews and insights on books and publishing. The website is booksontheradio.ca. Its host is passionate about books and informed because he's an ardent reader and because he's been in the book trade here in Vancouver for the past 20 years. He's also an organizer of Book Camp Vancouver and is the director of creative awareness for the Vancouver Biennale. Hope I pronounced that right. The website is regularly updated and new programs air on CJSF Wednesdays, and they're on the website that afternoon. His most recent show was with the National Post's gossip columnist and now novelist, Shanann Govani. Previously, Hal Wake from the Vancouver International Writers and Readers Festival was on. They're great programs and interesting conversations are had. As a fan of interviews, having done a few here on the website, I'm a fan of Sean's, and I'm glad he's on today. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Sean Cranberry. Good morning, Mr. Cranberry.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. How did this all start? How did Books on the Radio start?
Books on the Radio has been an idea in the making for probably 4 or 5 years. It all started when I was working at I was an editor at a place called House of Parlance, which was had a brief existence as an independent publisher here in Vancouver. And I wanted to do more than just work on specific books that I was involved with, which were great. But I guess the bookseller in me really felt attached to books of all kinds and the writers and publishers in a very broad way, and I wanted to be in touch with so many of them all the time that when I started to think about it, I thought, you know, maybe a radio show is a good way to go about it. Public radio, it would allow me the latitude to do what I want to do and be able to do it in podcasts at the same time and reach an audience. So it's been in the works for many, many years, and we just really started doing it this summer.
And I must say, the long-form conversation is what I enjoy doing.
Right.
And I think that's the sense I get. You mean your interviews are longer than you'd say here on regular radio or television even?
Oh, definitely. I have a half an hour of airtime on CJSF. And, you know, like, all of the interviews that I'm doing are, you know, 45 minutes to an hour long, and I edit them down to about a half hour. The beauty of that is that you get the public access and the public broadcast through CJSF, and then you can podcast them on the web. I expect that at some point I will have some interviews that will broadcast on the web at half an hour, and then the podcast will actually be 45 minutes to an hour of the actual conversation, just because there'll be so much great material there that I won't want to edit it all down.
So how often do you do this? Like you do it the once a week. It airs once a week on the radio.
Yeah.
But do you tape throughout the week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Last week I did 3 tapings. Obviously, I did the Shanann Govani, and then I met the very next day with a woman named Casey Dyer, who is a writer and very active in the community here in Vancouver, and she represents the Surrey International Writers Conference, and we talked about that with her. It's a great interview. And then I also taped Michael Geist, the internet law and copyright lawyer from Ottawa. And when he was in town, he was speaking at the Wise Hall just off of Commercial Drive. And that's an hour-long taping that I did last week as well.
And do you find that you enjoy doing this?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't. And the other thing about that, too, I guess I saw an opportunity in terms of giving writers and publishers and books and people who were involved a voice. And I think that that's the important thing, too, is that it's not necessarily about my interest, even though that's pretty substantial, and my passion for books, but it's also about the fact that writers and publishers are responding so positively. They really like having the opportunity to talk to people and to get the word out there. So it's this weird kind of mutual thing. It works pretty well.
Yeah, I get people ask me all the time, because I'm not on the radio and I'm not on television,
mm-hmm.
and that's not really a desire of mine at the moment.
Yeah.
Why do I do this? And I'm like, well, why not? I mean, why pass up the chance to talk to a great thinker or a novelist or something like that? And if you have to dress it up in the form of a show or program, put it on a website, you know, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you just essentially bookend it, right? I mean, I decided to call my show Books on the Radio because it's essentially one of the underlying themes on the show is technology. Books are a technology, radio is a technology, and we've obviously moved past the transistor into this digital age. And it's ultimately just a conversation that I'm having with people, but you do need to kind of have a format. You need to have a title, and you need to have some framework for it to work within. But, you know, once you get that done, I think it's pretty easy.
Who inspires you?
Well, lots of people inspire me. I think writers and books have been a constant inspiration. Poets are a constant source of inspiration. That's a really, really. I mean, my family and friends inspire me all the time. I was out with a friend of mine who is a jazz drummer. We were out on Commercial Drive listening to some music last night, and you know, music inspires me. I'm inspired by you know, creative people who are doing what they love.
And all of that seems to come through in the program. Your interest in the sort. You're an avid reader, are you? Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you? I mentioned that you had this career as a bookseller. Did you go into that trade because you were interested in books, or were you always, or were books just a part of your life?
Books have always been a part of my life. I think one of the earliest photographs, one that my mom certainly loves, is a picture of me and when I was very, very young in some overalls, clutching a copy of Winnie the Pooh, and you know, she appreciates. I guess that's just kind of one of those early photos of my love affair with books, but it started because when I was in high school, I entered into this co-op program that allowed us to go off campus and work in an entrepreneurial environment. And so I chose the bookstore. And it was this little very idyllic store in a town called Dundas, Ontario. A 100-year-old building with wooden shelves and no computer inventory system. Three or four cats, and very idyllic situation. So I worked there in my co-op placement, and I fell in love with it, and I fell in love with the idea, and it just, I guess I got good at it, and it just kind of grew from there.
The other thing, the interviews that you do them in person, do you?
Generally, yeah. I haven't done any. That's not true. I have done a few phone interviews, but I am, generally speaking, I'm just working with either writers or authors who are coming through town or people who are already here.
Yeah, see, I all of my interviews have been done over the phone, like this one now.
Mm-hmm.
There must be something different talking to someone in person.
Yeah.
It's more intimate, is it?
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that I hope to do with Books on the Radio is kind of experiment with the interview format, if you will. And, for instance, the most recent interview I did with Casey Dyer about the Surrey International Writers Conference was done down the street, just off of Commercial and 6th Avenue. We sat outside of a cafe. And part of the beauty of that is it's a very intimate conversation. We have a lot of fun, but there's all of this ambient noise. There's, you know, the occasional shady car rolling by or a truck or people talking, or even somebody had a typewriter at a table nearby, and you can hear that in the background. So there is a certain amount of intimacy. And I think, you know, even with Shannon, he, you know, works for the National Post, lives in Toronto, is a Gossip Society columnist. So he maybe has, he was very easy to talk to, and it was a very casual and open conversation, and I was appreciative that he was so relaxed. So I think there's something to be said for that. But I did get an invite to do an interview with a famous Scottish crime writer, Ian Rankin, the other day, and that will be by telephone, so that'll be interesting for me.
Now, the Shannon Govani interview, I listened to that the other night. It was at a bar?
Yeah. Yeah,
and exactly. I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking to myself, they've got drinks in front of them, probably. Did you?
Yeah, we had a couple of gin and tonics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That book, that novel that he has, what is it called? Bold Face Names?
Bold Face Names, that's right.
It's a good book, is it?
Oh, he's a fantastic writer. And it is really, really good. There's definitely hints of, I think we talk about it in the interview, there's definitely hints of Bret Easton Ellis in there, just in terms of plot and storytelling. But as a writer, I mean, that book was surprisingly well done. I think it's really, really funny. People really like it.
You mentioned that photograph of you clutching that Winnie the Pooh book. Are you going to read that sequel that's coming out?
Probably. I don't know.
I mean, Winnie the Pooh wasn't really... I guess it's a kid's book, but I mean, there's something in there for adults, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's one of the reasons that it's lasted so long. It's so well written. And A.A. Milne is just a classic writer. You know, I mean, we live in an age of kind of remixes and rehashing of old stories and old storylines, and you know, if it's good, it's good. This new book, anyway. If it's good, it's good, and I'll read it. If it's not, I'll probably bypass it. There's no shortage of material, you know, for me to look at, and especially since I'm looking, I'm trying to look at independent voices and independent ideas and. A rehashing of A.A. Milne, I don't know whether or not that qualifies.
Now, your reading habits, you obviously read a lot for interest and for this program.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, how does it work for you? Do you have books on the go all the time? Where do you read?
Yeah, I have books on the go all the time. And there's probably, though there's a stack right in front of me of probably about 12 books that gain my attention variously. I kind of move as the moment suits me, I guess. I don't really have so much of a plan of what I'm going to do, although I constantly tell myself I need to start doing that. And I read everywhere I go. I read mostly in my home or downstairs in my little office area, or I'm reading on the bus or when I'm out at cafes or whatever. I've got a book with me all the time.
Oh, this thing, Book Camp Vancouver, what was that?
Yeah.
Or what is that?
Book Camp Vancouver is what they call an unconference. And that means that it's a user-generated conference that is based on the notion that it's there to generate ideas from the crowd and to give people who are in attendance an opportunity to speak and brainstorm and lead the discussion about any particular topic. Book Camp Vancouver came about because me and a small group of Vancouver people went out to Toronto for Book Camp Toronto in June, and it was really, really successful, and we thought we could do it in Vancouver. And the Vancouver Vancouver Conference, I think, is going to be really, really successful. It's essentially a response to an industry that is experiencing a lot of uncertainty at the moment, especially with the transition to digital, new technologies, and old ways of old business models within the industry that are being challenged at the moment. So very recently, last year, the standard conference called Book Expo Canada, which was for, I don't know, something like 30-some-odd years or maybe more, the annual get-together for the publishing industry. So Book Expo Canada died last year when Reed Expositions, who had been charged with organizing it, found that Random House, Penguin, and HarperCollins, I believe, all backed out. And when you have three of the major multinationals backing out of your conference, you really don't have much of a conference anymore. So the book camp idea is this really, really kind of grassroots notion that the answers are there, that the people are passionate about the new technologies and about books and about that kind of writing and literature in general, and that the industry is flexible enough to account for the fact that there are new ideas. So that's where that comes from.
And so when is this? Is this?
It is Friday the 15th of October, and we're totally sold out. We're well beyond our... We're beyond what our expectations were, but we're right about at maximum capacity.
So if people, what's the website for it so people can check it out if they wanted to?
Yeah, just Google, we have a wiki, but if you just Google Book Camp Vancouver, it'll take you right there to it. It's a wiki and very easy to access. All the information's there.
Now, the you're involved in this Biennale. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, the Biennale.
Biennale. My vowels are loose.
Yeah, no. You know what? It's a strange word, and one of the things about the Biennale is that there's a real question about how you pronounce the word. And so, yeah, Biennale is a two-year art exhibition in Vancouver of sculpture, new media, and performance. And it's kind of adopted from the Venice Biennale, which is the most famous of all the public art exhibitions in the world. And the Biennales are funny because they're popping up everywhere. Moscow's got one, Jakarta's got one, Helsinki's got one. They're all over the place.
And they're throughout the city, and they'll be up for a couple of years, will they, till 11?
Yeah, that's right. It's a really, really wonderful idea, and I'm really very lucky to be a part of it. It's the Biennale's, the notion of the Biennale is art in public spaces. So Vancouver has some of the most beautiful parks and landscape and scenery, you know, in the world as a city. And what happens is we work with a park board to identify beautiful spaces in the city that we can install some, you know, amazing Chinese sculpture. And then the board of directors or whoever at the Biennale kind of coordinate the sculpture and the art. They bring it into the city. And then we turn Vancouver into a kind of public open-air museum or art gallery.
You mentioned your reading habits, and then earlier in the interview you talked about technology expanding. This Amazon thing that they've got out, the Kindle.
Yes.
Is that where we're headed with books?
Maybe. You know, I think that you touched on an interesting point, one of which is that the argument is often, especially in books at this time, about the future. And I think the future has been with us for maybe about 10 years, you know. So is that where we're heading? That's where we are. And I think that, you know, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle on this one. I do think that there are some very interesting times ahead. I think that the Kindle is, you know, it's Amazon, and Amazon has a huge amount of influence on the industry. They control prices in a ridiculous way for a retailer because of their Amazon.com web address and just the ubiquity of their service. And the Kindle is a part of that kind of control over the digital files. And they have it at the moment. I think that, you know, there's an ongoing rumor that Apple is going to be releasing their tablet at some point, which I think is designed to compete with the Kindle. So when you talk specifically about the Kindle or the Amazon or the Sony Reader or others like that, you're talking about devices that are single use, which means that they don't have Wi-Fi necessarily, at least Wi-Fi that is connected to anything more than Amazon. And they, you know, I mean, all you have to do is look at them to wonder whether or not they're going to be relevant in a couple of years. So there's some more changes. Plastic Logic is coming out with a reader as well. So are we going in that direction? I think inevitably yes. Are we going in a direction where we're going to have readers that are single use that are only designed to read PDF files and ebooks? I find that a little difficult to believe. But that certainly is where we are now.
But you don't think that books will disappear?
No. I really don't, and, you know, I have these conversations all the time, and I wonder whether or not that's just kind of a prejudice that's a result of my lifelong career as a bookseller. Because I've been so intimately involved with the physical object for so many years, and I really do love them, I wonder whether or not that's the case. Do I think so? I don't. I really don't think that you can replace just the what I call the thingness of books. You know, like it's going to be very interesting to see. They certainly won't be wiped off the face of the earth. We will always have them, And I think that there's something to be said for being able to document a certain time and place and have that physically available for people to look through rather than digitally available. I just think that there are a lot of limitations with electronic dissemination that that can't be replaced, that are incapable, pardon me, of replacing the physical book and what that does for us as a culture. But time will tell.
I'm doing a bit of a survey with my guest today.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him, how many books do you own?
How many books do I own?
Yeah.
I would say I own probably in the neighborhood of 800, maybe.
Yeah. Do you throw books out?
I keep thinking I might, you know. I don't. I have a real problem, as almost anyone will tell you, with parting with books in any way. I've got boxes of them in the basement that I keep thinking I'm going to sell, but I never actually get around to doing that.
What's on the program on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 14th?
That is a good question. I think I'm going to go with the Casey Dyer interview. I'm going to work with that interview. There's also something very interesting in happening at the Atsui Gallery downtown, which is a concrete poetry exhibition curated by a friend of mine named Steve Calvert, and he's got some of the best concrete poets. Marina Ray, I believe, is one of them. Christian Bach, who's a famous Canadian poet, and the local guy, Donato Mancini. And it is one of the most beautiful exhibitions of poetry and art that I've ever seen. So I'm hoping that I can get an interview in with Steve. Maybe that will be on. But I think it's going to be the Casey Dyer Surrey International Writers Conference interview next Wednesday.
No, we'll just have to listen on Wednesday and see which one you'll have on.
Exactly.
Yeah, booksontheradio.ca is the website. Sean, it's been the pleasure to talk to you, and we'll continue listening.
Yeah, thanks very much, Joe. This is great.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Sean Cranberry on the line, as I said, booksontheradio.ca. Look up Book Camp Vancouver and the Biennale as well. We'll put links on the website. Sean's blog and a very fine podcast are booksontheradio.ca. Do listen. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.